Thank you for joining with us here today at Bethel Free Presbyterian Church in Enniskillen and County Fermanagh, wherever you are listening in online. Our prayer is that the Lord will richly bless his word to your heart today. And you can listen in online each Lord's Day at 12 noon and 7 p.m. and then each Tuesday night at 8 p.m. There's just some announcements I'd like to leave with our congregation. God willing, the Lord's Day, the 5th of July, will see the reopening of our church building here for the worship of the Lord. And that will commence just with the morning service at 12 noon. Now, do please note that there will be no prayer meeting before the service. And then it will also be followed by the midweek prayer meeting that incoming week, Tuesday night, the 7th of July at 8 p.m. Now, do please pray for these meetings, if at all possible, do attend. There will be strict social distancing regulations in place. We ask you to observe those and to comply with those. Also, anyone with symptoms of COVID-19 must not attend. And also, anyone who is presently shielding under the instructions of their doctor are advised not to attend at present. There will be no Lord's Day evening service in the church building. However, instead of this, there will be the drive-in service over the summer season each Sunday night at 7 p.m. at Enniskillen Mart Car Park. This coming Wednesday night, that's the 1st of July at 7:30 p.m., church office bearers are asked to meet just for a tidy-up around the church grounds outside. Do also please pray for the drive-in gospel mission and the evangelist, the Reverend William McCrae. And that will be Friday night, the 31st of July at 8 p.m., Saturday night, the 1st of August at 8 p.m., and then Sunday evening, the 2nd of August at 7 p.m. The venue will be Enniskillen Mart Car Park. Do note the change of venue. It was originally announced as Stewart's Car Park, but that has now been changed to the Enniskillen Mart Car Park. And also just say, once the church is reopened, the Sunday morning online service will probably be uploaded on the internet somewhat later than the service time, maybe about an hour and a half after the service time. So do please note that change as well. That's all by way of necessary announcements. We're going to turn now in God's Word to the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 10. Want to read some verses there. But before we do so, we're going to unite our hearts together in prayer, seek the Lord, and ask for his help in the preaching of his word today. Our Heavenly Father, we give thee thanks and praise for thy goodness, thy grace, and thy love, and thy salvation. We praise thee and thank thee today for the wonderful gift of thy Son, that unspeakable gift. Lord, thy word tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And, O God, we thank thee that he that hath the Son have life. We thank thee for that great promise of life eternal and life abundant through faith in Christ as our Redeemer. And, O God, our prayer is this night that thou wilt just bless the going forth of your word to all who would listen in and all who would hear your word. We thank thee that the word of God is not bound, that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and that thou wilt bless thy word even this evening. Now, Lord, to the conversion of souls, to the blessing of the saints of God, and to the glorifying of thy name. To this end, empty me of self, Lord, fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost and with the power of God, and give help and wisdom and grace and enablement, Lord, to preach thy word, O God, we pray. Again, Lord, we pray for thy blessing upon our congregation here. We give thee thanks for it and for all connected with it. We pray that thou would bless each household, unite every family circle in the Lord. Remember those who are ill and sick at this time in hospital, connected with us. We bring them, Lord, before thee in faith. And Lord, thou who art the great physician, lay thy healing hand, O God, upon them and raise them up, O God, we pray, to the glory of thy name. We pray, Lord, for those that mourn and grieve, that thou would bless them, that thou would comfort them, that the hand of God would be upon them, Lord, for good. And Lord, just bless every aspect of thy work here. And even in thy will soon, Lord, when the building would be opened up for the preaching of thy word, we pray, Lord, that thou will command the blessing, that thy presence will be known in a mighty and in a powerful way, and that we might know that outpouring of the Spirit of God upon us in seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Bless each sister congregation tonight, and bless wherever thy word is faithfully preached and proclaimed across our land, across our nation. We pray that the blessing of the Lord would attend to it, we pray. So, Father, be with us now, we pray. Draw near wherever we are listening to thy word. Lord, we thank thee that thou hast said the entrance of thy word that it bringeth life. And, O God, we pray that through the light of thy word and the light of thy truth, that some soul or souls would be made wise unto salvation and be born again of God the Holy Ghost. Give us help now, Lord, in the reading and in the preaching of your word. Have thy way in every heart and life who would listen in. For we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory, giving thee thanks. Amen. Our Bible reading this evening is taken from the book of the Acts of the Apostles. We're reading from Acts chapter 10, and we're reading the first 8 verses of the chapter, verses 1 to 8, and then moving also down to verse 19 of the chapter and concluding at the verse number 24. So reading tonight from Acts chapter 10, verses 1 to 8, and then verses 19 to 24. Let us hear the word of the Lord as we read it together this evening. Acts chapter 10 and the verse number 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision evidently about the 9th hour of the day an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. And then verse 19 says, While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth of God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 24. We pray that God will bless this reading of his holy and eternal word to all our hearts. Now, to fear God, be prayerful and upright before others and still not saved would seem to be an impossibility. Yet Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 11 shows that such a thing is most surely possible. These chapters tell us about an upright man living in a place called Caesarea. This man's name was Cornelius, and Cornelius was a centurion in the Roman army of occupation. Now, a centurion was a man who had 100 soldiers under his specific command. And from these chapters, we see how this soldier with a high moral character is saved. He becomes a born-again Christian. And he is made ready for heaven. And his salvation really shows us that the gospel is all for all people. Because Cornelius himself was a Gentile. He was a native of Italy. Indeed, proof of his salvation is given in Acts chapter 10, verse 44. It says, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word." And there you read of the Holy Spirit coming upon Cornelius and others in his house who had gathered to hear the Apostle Peter preach the gospel. Now, had Cornelius and others not been saved, then the Holy Ghost would not have fell upon them, because the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and the verse 9, "If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Now the account here of this man's conversion, this man Cornelius, his conversion is an account that is worthy of our consideration. Because it shows to you and I that the best of men in the eyes of the world still need to be saved, just like the worst of men in the eyes of man. As we had looked then at the conversion of this man Cornelius to Christ for salvation, there are three things that I want you to note. And just as this man was converted to Christ many years ago, if you're still not saved, our prayer is that you too, just like this man Cornelius, would be converted unto Christ. Notice first of all here the character of this man Cornelius. Look at verse 2 of the chapter. It says he was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house. Here you see he had a reverence for God, and that impacted his household. Here was a man and he believed in the existence of God as his creator. He did not doubt the existence of the God of heaven. Again, if you look at verse 2 of the chapter, it says about Cornelius that he gave much alms to the people, prayed to God, and the fact that he gave alms shows that he was kind, that he was generous to those who were in need. The fact that it says that he prayed to God, it shows that here was a man who prayed. He was prayerful in his spirit. Verse 22, further on down the chapter, the servant is speaking there of Cornelius, and he describes him, he says, as a just man, one that fear of God and of good report among the Jews. Here he was just and upright in his dealings with others. He had a good report of others in society. And bear in mind who this man Cornelius was. He was a Roman soldier of occupation in Israel. Yet he was well thought of by the Jews. He was charitable, he was kind, he was respected. Again, verse 30 of Cornelius himself speaking to Peter in the chapter. He says these words to the Apostle Peter. He says, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. Here you see that he was earnest and he was devout in the matter of religious duties. He fasted and he prayed in his own house. Yes, we see here that this man Cornelius, as far as man was concerned, he was a man who had excellent credentials. But despite such a good character, he was still not saved. He was still without God's salvation. He was still not ready to die. He was still not ready for heaven. If you turn your Bible over to Acts chapter 11, Acts chapter 11 and to verses 13 and 14 there of the chapter, you will see this. Here Peter speaks of what Cornelius said regarding the message that he had received from God's angel. Look at verse 13, verse 14 of Acts chapter 11. And here we have Peter rehearsing what Cornelius said to him about the angel and the message given to him. And he says, "And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved." Notice those final words there in verse 14. "Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved." There you see that despite such a good character, despite such a good credentials before men, that this man Cornelius was not saved. Yes, no matter how good Cornelius's life was in man's sight, he was not saved, he was not right with God, he was not ready for heaven, he was not ready to die. Dear friend, the same applies to you and I also this evening. Let me say this, that no matter how good, no matter how upright our life is before others, such a life cannot please God. Such a life cannot save our soul from hell. Such a life cannot fit you and I for heaven. What does the Bible say in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6? It says, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. It says we all do fade as a leaf. Again in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 9 it says that salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. Prior to his conversion, George Whitfield was a man who fasted 36 hours per week. He was a man who prayed several times daily. He was a man who starved himself to death, yet such works could not save his soul. Such works could not make him right with God and fit him for heaven. You think of the words of the hymn writer, Augustus Toplady. In reference to salvation, he says these words, not what these hands have done can save the guilty soul. Not what this toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. And my, he knew that his works and his own righteousness could not save him, could not fit him for heaven and make him right before God. Dear friend, this is something you need to realize, that you need to understand that all your good works, all your self-righteousness, all your religiosity, no matter how well intended that may be, cannot save your soul. These things cannot make you right with God. They cannot fit you for heaven. They cannot deliver you from a lost eternity in hell itself. You see, the Bible, the Word of God, makes it very clear that if you are to be in heaven, if you are to be delivered from your sin, then like this man Cornelius, you must be saved. You must have God's salvation in your heart and life. Think of the words of the Apostle Peter at the end of Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, where he says there, we must be saved. And friend, to be right with God, to be sure of heaven, to know your sins forgiven, you must be saved. Oh, as you look here at the character of this man Cornelius, realize that a good, upright character, though it may be commendable in the sight of men, that is not enough to save your soul and to make you right with God. Yes, we see the character of this man, Cornelius, but notice secondly here, notice the mercy of God toward Cornelius. If you look at verse 22 of the chapter 10 there of the book of the Acts, here the servant tells Peter that Cornelius, he says, was warned from God by an angel to send for thee into his house to hear words of thee. And here you read of how God sent an angel to warn Cornelius. In mercy, God sends an angel to Cornelius, warning him and telling him to fetch Peter, who would tell him and show him how he could be saved from his sins. What a mercy this man Cornelius enjoyed. You know, we can say that if Cornelius was to die in his sin and go to hell, he could never blame God, and he could never say, God, you did not warn me. He could never say, God, you were not merciful to me. God was merciful to this man and sending an angel to warn him, to fetch the Apostle Peter, who would show him how to be saved from his sins. What mercy he enjoyed from the bountiful hand of God. Dear friend, let me say also that in like manner, yes, God, the God of heaven, the God of eternity, the God of your creation, yes, God has been merciful to you. Yes, he has brought you to this very point of even listening to this message from the Word of God so that you can hear of your very need to be saved. And let me say this, that if you are to be delivered from hell, if you are to be sure of heaven, you must be saved.
As the Bible says, you must be born again. You must have your sins forgiven by Almighty God. If you turn in your Bible back to John's Gospel, chapter 3, you'll see this. Here Christ is speaking to Nicodemus. In many ways, his character was very similar to that of Cornelius. He was a very upright man, a very moral man, a very religious man. And look at what the Lord Jesus Christ says to him in verse 3 of John chapter 3. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And there Christ told Nicodemus, "Nicodemus, you must be saved, you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Dear friend, as you listen in this evening, the same applies to you. Yes, you must be saved. You must be born again if you are to enter into God's family and enter into God's kingdom. Let me make it clear to you that if you refuse God's salvation and you do not repent of your sin and you perish in hell, then you'll not be able to blame God. You'll not be able to say, "God, you did not warn me." You'll not be able to say, "God, you were not merciful to me," because God has warned you and God has been merciful to you. Perhaps many, many times you've heard the warning note from the gospel preacher, the gospel minister and pastor telling you, "You must be saved, you must be born again." Friend, let me say this, that in light of God's mercy, I want you to stop and think about God's mercy, how good God has been to you, how merciful he's been to you, how blessed you've been of God. In light of that mercy, in light of that blessing, I would urge you this very evening to seek God for salvation. The Bible says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near." Let me say this, that if you neglect salvation, there is no escaping hell for you. The Bible says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" Listen to the warning of Proverbs chapter 29 and the verse 1. It says there that he that been often reproved and hardened of his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Yes, God may be merciful to you. Yes, perhaps you've been often warned of your need of salvation, but if you refuse to listen and you die in your sin, you'll be forever lost in hell. Your soul will be forever doomed and damned forevermore. The story is told of a particular Highland chief in Scotland of years gone by by the name of McKean of Glencoe. And his intention was to swear allegiance to King William III of England in the year 1691. But he waited. And he ended up being delayed by a snowstorm. And his time to show loyalty and allegiance to the king ran out. Hence he was killed and slain in the Battle of Glencoe. You see, he procrastinated and he waited until it was too late to prove his loyalty to the king. And dear friend, if you put off salvation to another time and death comes upon you, it can come very speedily and swiftly and suddenly, then it will be too late for you to be saved. Then every opportunity for you to be saved and right with God and sure of heaven will be gone forevermore. Well, that is why the Bible says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Indeed, that is why the Bible says, "Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart." Listen to what the hymn writer says, "Oh, you have not long to stay. Be in time." You don't have long on this earth. The hymn writer says, "Sinner, do no longer roam, lest you seal your hopeless doom. Be in time." Be in time is the message of the hymn writer. Be in time is the message of the Word of God as far as the salvation of your soul is concerned. God says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." Oh, do not despise the mercy of God. For a day will come when the mercy of God, the door of God's mercy will be closed. You die in your sin and you leave this world in your sin. Then that door of mercy into God's salvation will be closed to you forevermore. You'll be consigned to the lake of fire, to everlasting punishment and torment for your sin. Yes, the character of this man, Cornelius, the mercy of God toward this man, Cornelius. But notice, thirdly here, notice the way that Cornelius was saved. How was he saved? Well, the Bible tells us how Peter came and he spoke to Cornelius. And he told him that he could only have peace with God and only have salvation through Christ. Go down to verse 36 of the chapter. And here you have Peter preaching in the house of Cornelius. And notice the message that Peter preaches there at the end of verse 36. It was this: peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Also, if you go down further to verse 39 and verse 40, you'll see there how Peter speaks of Christ's sacrifice on the cross to save sinners from their sin, and also of his resurrection from the dead. He says there of Christ, whom they slew and hanged on the tree, God raised up the third day. Here you see that Peter's preaching was faithful. It was Christ-centered preaching. He presented Christ, the Savior of sinners, through Cornelius and his household. Yes, Peter tells Cornelius that it's by Christ's sacrifice alone that a way has been made for the salvation of sinners. He tells Cornelius, yes, that the resurrection of Christ from the dead, it is proof, it is evidence that God has accepted his sacrifice on the behalf of sinners. Again, if you look at verse 42 of the chapter, you'll see again how Peter preaches more of Christ, for he says he was ordained of God, in other words, appointed of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. And here, Peter was warning Cornelius of the fact that Christ is coming back again to this world to judge this world, to judge all who are not saved, and such will be cast into hell in the judgment of God. Again, if you look there at verse number 43 of Acts chapter 10, you'll see here how Peter tells Cornelius that it is only by faith in Christ alone and in his finished work and sacrifice upon the cross that he could be saved, that his sins could be forgiven, and that he could be sure of a place in God's heaven. Look at verse 43 there of Acts chapter 10. It says, to him, that's to Christ, give all the prophets witness. This is the message of the Bible, Peter was saying, that through his name, through the name of Christ, whosoever believeth on him shall receive remission of sins. My, this is how this man Cornelius was saved. His salvation was by faith alone, in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. He trusted in Christ for salvation. And friend, the way for you to be saved from your sin is still the same. It hasn't changed. Yes, good works, rites, and ceremonies of church and religion, they cannot save you. You can only be saved by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You can only have peace with God through faith in Christ and his atoning work for your salvation. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, it says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. A friend, by trusting Christ as Savior, you can know the forgiveness of all of your sins. You can know peace with God. You can receive grace to live the Christian life. You can be afforded a place in God's heaven. The Bible says in Romans 1, verse 17, the just shall live by faith. Indeed, the Bible says in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You think of Charles Wesley, the famous hymn writer of the Methodist background. He was a man who was devoutly religious. He had a moral, upright character. Yet a time came when he was struck down with an illness, and that wrought concern within his heart and within his soul. And at that time, a Moravian missionary told him how he could only have peace with God and be justified from his sin by faith in the atoning work of Christ alone for his salvation. Upon that bed of sickness at the age of 30, Charles Wesley put his faith and his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And following that, on that particular occasion, he composed one of his greatest hymns. And in that hymn, he says these words, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise." He was full of praise and gladness to Christ because of what he had done for him in salvation. You know, it's a wonderful thing to hear about an alcoholic being saved, or a drug addict being saved, or a thief, or a violent person being saved, or a profane or immoral person being saved. But you know, it is equally wonderful to hear about a respectable, God-fearing, clean-living, upright person getting saved, as was the case here with this man, Cornelius, before us in Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 11. Friend, as we close our message this evening, perhaps you're one that, and you're living, as it were, on the clean side of the broad road. Just like this man, Cornelius, you're moral, you're upright, you're a fine citizen, you're a good neighbor. You do your best to your neighbor, to your friends, a family, workplace, whatever. But you're still not saved. You're still not converted. Therefore, I would say to you, even this very day, come by faith to Christ for salvation. That's the message of the gospel. Confess your sins to him. Tell him you're sorry for your sins. Trust him as your Savior. Thank him for dying for your sins upon the cross of Calvary. Depend upon his precious blood alone shed upon the cross to cleanse away your sin before Almighty God. You know, the Lord in his word, he gives you a wonderful encouragement to do so. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He invites you. He says, "Come unto me." In the book of the Revelation, in the last chapter of the Bible, it says there, "Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." And that is God's invitation to you to come to Christ for eternal life and for salvation. Oh, don't depend upon your good works. Don't depend on your self-righteousness for salvation or your religiosity. For those things cannot save your soul. The Bible declares in Jonah chapter 2, verse 9, that salvation is of the Lord. That was something Cornelius realized. And when Peter came and preached the gospel, he responded to that message. He put his faith, his trust in Christ alone for salvation. Dear friend, unsaved man, woman, young person, boy or girl, I would invite you, I would exhort you and encourage you to do the same even tonight. Come by faith to Christ and trust him, whom to know is life eternal. Thank you for listening. May God bless his word and his truth to your heart and to your soul this day. Amen.